Why is this called the Papa Prayer? You know, we've been talking about prayer that changes you. And we've been talking about to give more thought to our prayers, to pray with an open Bible, to give our attention all to God and remember who we're praying to listen more than to ask, to pray with open ears and let Him do the talking, and to pray in such a way that we're not just asking for Him to do for us, but listening for us to do for Him. We come now to the Papa Prayer, and Matt, I couldn't think yesterday, Dr. Larry Crabb wrote the book on this. It's an excellent book. I urge you to get it because, friends, I'm just going to touch the surface today. But you can use the Papa Prayer in many ways. Youth, there's a design for you to use it. Our middle age, senior citizens, we can all use it. But it's something very special to help us remember how to pray to get in a closer relationship with God. That's the whole bottom line. We want to be in a closer relationship with God. You know, too often, and I've said this before, God is great, God is good. Now lay me down to sleep to pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, even adults pray that sometimes. And nothing wrong, they are good prayers to teach your children. But, you know, as we mature, we want to go far more into praying far deeper. And too often, we never do that. The Papa Prayer is designed for us to do that. Now, Larry Crabb got the idea of Papa from the word Abba. Abba in the New Testament is used three times. Abba actually is a transliteration of the Aramaic word for father. It is used, as I said, three times in the New Testament, Mark 14:36. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And then Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, what Larry Crabb is doing is using the principle of Abba as a papa. As a papa. And I probably, in fact, in my ministry have said that before. Daddy. Actually, as you study in the languages, that might be just a little bit not a great translation. And I'll tell you why. God is our Father. We're adopted into His family. He becomes our Father. But to call Him Papa is, to me, like He is so close to us, and that we want. But it kind of robs Him a little bit, I think, of the respect and honor due His name. He is our Papa. He is more than our Papa. He is the Almighty God. He is the Creator of all. And so the Papa might be just a little bit not strong enough. And so I'm a little bit hesitant on this translation of the word Abba into Papa, although some do that. But I think the more modern studies would tell us that even though it means daddy also, that the kids in that day, when this was written, would have called their dad father. Father. And perhaps the best translation of this word, Abba, is father or fatherhood. Because with the word father, we have a lot more respect. He is our father. Yes, he's our friend, but he is the authority figure. So God is our friend. He is in some ways like a papa, but don't you realize he's so much more than that? The wonderful thing is that He who is so great and so awesome and beyond all our thinking is willing to be that kind of friend to us, like a father to us. That's wonderful. And so the principle of the Papa Prayer came from translating that word as Papa. And I just throw that out to let you know that's kind of where the name come from. I'm a little bit hesitant, though, without giving you a little more information, as I've tried to do, that it means father or fatherhood. Now, realizing that the gap between our Father in heaven and me is it is forever closed, and the my growing comfort of the level of intimacy that I don't have when I don't think of it in the proper way, it's like coming up and closing the relationship when I don't think of Him as our great Father, but just think of Him as God. So, you know, there's two or three ways you can look at this. He is Almighty God, and He is like a Father to us. But when I think of Him as the Almighty God, that one, the great Creator, and like a Father to me, it closes that gap and makes Him a close relationship with me. He is truly my authority figure. He is my friend, and I have a relationship with Him that was formerly unavailable. I can go to Him and get close to Him. I don't think we're close enough with God. I think that's the problem with America. I think that's why we have gay marriages and abortions and all these things happening, because we're not close enough with God. It's not changing our lives. We're happy like we are, and because of that, we're in a mess. So this prayer can really change us, grow us deeper in our faith, and make us life changers, just as I pray our young people will be this week and what they're going to. So now I want to tell you that this kind of prayer is a relational prayer, the Papa prayer, relational. What does that mean? I know that's a big word. It means it puts you into a relationship with God. You are so close to Him that you have intimacy with Him and a close relationship with Him. You're building that relationship day by day. The goal, then, is not just praise, not just thanksgiving, and certainly not just petition, for which we as evangelicals are famous for. So many times you listen to our prayers and our prayer list, which are all important, but it sounds like that we look at God more as a Santa Claus in the sky than Almighty God. True, we do have requests to bring to Him, but I'm saying that out of this close relationship we have with Him, these relationships that we have with others, I think, make it more precious. And when we go to Him, we come to Him with confidence, knowing how such a great friend of ours, who we love so much and have such a close relationship with Him, wants to help these others we are concerned about. So let's think of it, God, not just as we're sitting in Santa's lap and telling Him all we want for Christmas, but as the Almighty, wonderful God who wants to have a wonderful relationship with Him. It's not that we're doing this to make our life more comfortable on earth. In fact, the Papa prayer may not make your life as comfortable as you want it, because we're kind of going outside the boundaries. We're going out and setting ourselves up to do what God wants us to do, and that may not be easy. But we're doing it because we want to be His servants. We don't want Him as our servant. We are His servants to do what He wants us to do. So it's not asking God to make us comfortable. It's not asking God to, please, God, make everything go right today. I mean, I'm not going to tell you a story. I prayed that prayer before, and that's really not a good prayer. I mean, I know you've prayed that before, too, and I put myself right there with you. But it should be, God, may Your will be done in my life today. What do You want for me? What do You want done in my life? What do You want me to do for You? Not that it will be comfortable for me, but that I might be out there on the firing line for You and relating to You. So we are communicating with God in a real way, the God of all the universe, when we speak to Him, but we also listen to Him. And we learn to hear from Him in a practical way. And how did I tell you it's the best way to hear God speaking to us? Through the open book, the Bible. Pray with the Bible. Pray over passages that are dear and near to you, and you can hear God speak to you. I'll give you an example in a minute. So the Papa Prayer is open dialogue with God to relate ourselves to Him in a close way, more intimately, more honestly than ever before. And you know what? I also found out it's a way of surrendering our tongue. So that our tongue is controlled not by us, but by God. Sometimes my tongue can get me in a lot of trouble. But with God controlling our tongues, it will be for His glory and honor. And it's the things that He wants us to do and a way that we can know Him so much better. And you know what? When you put God first, when God is the closest thing to you, He's your closest friend. He is like your Father in heaven that you love so much. Then you'll want to do the God things, not the our things. And I think of it this way. A lot of things that we think should be first place really ought to be second place. And let me tell you how we can narrow that down quickly. Matthew 6:33. And maybe you ought to pray at this verse with an open book as you pray. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. First and foremost is God and His righteousness. And all the other things will be added unto you. So often we don't pray like that. We pray for our health. We pray for our family's health. We pray for our marriages, our ministries, our bank accounts, that our children are walking with God. But, you know, all those things are important, but they are second things compared to the first thing of putting God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek all He wants for us first, and then all the other things will be added unto you. Here's an example I want to give you. You pray with an open book. Here's a verse you might be praying with an open book. Jeremiah 32:40-41. Two verses. I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they may not turn from me. I will rejoice in doing them good, and I will plant them in a land of faithfulness with all my heart and all my soul. Now, what did God just say to us in that verse that stands out so greatly? I am interested in doing good for you. I will do good for you. When you're praying this Papa prayer, this relational prayer, this relationship you're building with God, then His voice speaks to you and His voice says, hey, I want to do good for you. I'm going to do good for you. I'm going to look after you. I'm going to be there for you, and I will do the good things for you. And that comes to us and strikes us. And can you imagine what that can do to our witnessing? Go out and talk to people about Jesus and then turn to this passage and says, look, here's what God, the Father, wants to do for you. He wants to do good for you. He's seeking to do good for you because He loves you that much. So that's what I'm saying. When you pray with an open Bible, these verses that seem sometimes so common to read and so everyday like, suddenly phrases strike out at us. Hear God saying, I want to do good for you. I want to look after you and bring you to the land of faithfulness. And God is speaking powerfully to us in that's the God we serve, and that's the God I want to serve. You don't hear this from the other gods because there are no other gods. These other gods that people worship, they're not gods. They're dead. They're gone. But we worship the living God who says, I want to do good for you. Now, that good may not be exactly what our idea of good is, but remember, in His sight, it's what's good for us that He wants to do for us. And that's what we want. That's why we say, may thy will be done in heaven as on earth. In both places, we're opening ourselves up to His will. Here is the Papa prayer. Did everyone get a sheet this morning? Have you got sheets? Did everybody get a sheet? If you didn't get one, see one of the ushers when you leave, and they will give you the sheet about this. The first P in Papa, present yourself to God. That's what we do. What this means is you don't hold back. You don't hold anything back. You come to Him openly and honestly and say, here I am, God, just as I am, with all my flaws, with all my mistakes, with all my boo-boos, with all the things that I do wrong. Here I am, God, before you. You know me. Don't pretend that something's going on inside of you that's not really happening, that you don't want Him to know about. Be honest. You might have hatred in your heart, and you don't want to tell God that. Tell Him. Be open. Be honest. Let Him know you have hatred or jealousy or pride or whatever it might be. Present yourself to God as you are, honestly. Don't treat things that are happening in your life as unimportant or petty or not worth mentioning. Be open and honest and let Him see, I like to say, at every room in your house. Let Him go there. And don't make whatever you discover that's disagreeable into something more pleasant. If it's disagreeable and needs to be dealt with, have it dealt with when you're there on that level with God and being open and honest to Him and with Him. So let's sum that up real easy. Present yourself to God. Here's what it means. Be who you are, where you are, honestly and openly. The A in Papa, the next A, P-A, attend to how you are thinking of God. Be sure that you have the right thoughts about Him. Don't just assume that your view is correct. Remember that you are praying to the Almighty God who's opened up the innermost prayer room for you to come into and express yourself and who you are. And you don't go in there to sugarcoat the word God so that you can satisfy your desire with a pleasant experience with Him. But you go in there, as I said, openly and honest, praying to the God of all the universe. He knows what you are. He's got X-ray vision. He's got the fluoroscope. He knows everything about you. And you go into there not assuming that, but knowing that. And don't believe everything you hear except that which you hear from God Himself in His Word. You're not going in there to listen to other voices or think about other things. You are focused on God. That telescope is on God. That mind, that brain, this heart is on God, not anyone else. On God. You are standing before the God of the Bible, and you know what that makes you do? It makes you fall to your knees. Because you understand who He really is. Like Isaiah's vision, the great vision of Isaiah. Woe is me when he sees this vision of God. We find out who God is. We fall to our knees. And when we get up, we're new people with new want-tos, new desires. We're new creations in Christ because we have come before the God of all the universe who sacrificed His Son for your life and for mine. So be careful. The word is attend to how you're thinking of God. Be sure you know that this isn't just something we fashion with our hands, but this is the Almighty God who fashioned us with His hands. All right, the next P is purge. Purge yourself of anything that blocks your relationship with God. Don't try hard to be good. Don't merely promise you're going to do better, because most of the times we don't. How many times have I heard this? How many times has Matt heard it? How many times has these other three ministers here today that we love so much, how many times have they heard it? You go into a hospital room. Oh, if God will just make me well, I'll be in church every Sunday. I'll give my money like I ought to, and I'll worship Him like I ought to. And how many times do you see them at church? How many times do you see them? They don't ever show up when they got better. They didn't get closer to God. They might have even got further away from Him, making these promises because they wanted something for themselves. They had no idea about getting closer to God. That wasn't in their want to's. It was just they wanted to say that so they could get well and do again what they wanted to do. So don't go to Him trying hard just to be good or promising to do better. Let Him do the work in you. And don't criticize others' faults when you go to Him before you see your own serious faults. So easy to go before God and we haven't purged ourselves. God, I can't believe what that person's doing. Oh, me, I can't believe it. Lord, I would have never wore that dress to church. Oh, my Lord, did you see what that man had on today? Or did you see those shoes so-and-so had on? Or, oh, Lord, she talks so much. Or, oh, Lord, he comes and he gets in my way and just bothers me. And you go on and on talking about others. You better be talking about yourself and realize that when you've got one finger pointed out there, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 pointed at me. So you go before God, remembering you've got equally serious faults that you want forgiven and dealt with. And don't assume that you have a strong passion for something, for what you believe is right. And don't assume that it's necessarily holy. Go before God and present Him with the things that are passions to you. And ask His wisdom and advice on what to do. It may not be a thing that He wants you to do. It may not be as right as you think it is, but you go to Him for advice and wisdom through His Word. And the more you go to God, purging yourself, here's what's going to happen. The more you will see your sin and how ugly it is, and the more you will appreciate that wonderful five-letter word that starts with a G and has G-R-A-C-E in it, you will appreciate His grace so much more because of all these things that you've got in your life that shouldn't be there and that you are worried more about others than the faults of your own life. He will give you grace and mercy to forgive you and cleanse you and prepare you to be His servant. So purge yourself when you go to Him of anything that's blocking your relationship with God. And there can be some good things that block your relationship with God. You know, your family can block your relationship with God. But there can be some things maybe that are not so good. You might have a car that you worship, that you polish it up and clean it up and make it look nice, and you worship that car more than you do God. Or you might be interested more in dressing real cool or having, you know, your hair. I like them people. I like that stuff they put on their hair and makes it kind of stand up and look nice. Mine don't do that too good because it ain't got it anymore. The age is there and it won't stand up. But you might be more interested in how you look. Or you might be interested in your friends more than you are in God. Go before God, purging yourself of those things that are blocking your relationship with Him. Because no matter how good they are, there is nothing greater than your relationship with God. Let me say that again. No matter how good they are, there is nothing more special or more major in your life than your relationship with God. And finally, the last A of the Papa Prayer is approach God with confidence that He loves to give you the things that He wants to give you the things that He wants you to have the most, that He wants you to have the most. Don't retreat from Him. Don't think He's somewhere far off. Now I've prayed sometimes and I thought, gosh, God's so far off and I didn't get what I wanted when He was there right beside me. Or sometimes we, let's say that we negotiate with God. We try to negotiate with him over something we want. But you must remember the only leverage you have with God is his relentless, tender love and your longing to get what he wants to give you. So be careful that you approach him with the confidence that he will give you what he thinks is best for your life. Now, what you think is best for your life is not necessarily what he will think is best for your life. But what he gives you is a way that you can serve him and bring glory and honor to his name. So maybe we sum this up this way. Don't demand anything from God. Expect through this kind of praying a relationship with God, that he is your closest friend, that he is your ally, that he does want what's best for your life. And it may not necessarily be what you think is best for your life. So what do I say to sum this one up? Stand before God as a loved child and rest in his love as a prelude that you're going to receive his best. All right, that's the Papa prayer. Very easy. Now, some of the things I said up here are not written on your paper. I covered them a little bit more. But let's just go over these one more time. The first P, present yourself to God. Don't hold anything back. Be honest. The A, attend to how you are thinking of God. Be careful what your vision of God is and that you realize who you're praying to. The second P is purge yourself, get rid of, cleanse yourself of anything that's blocking your relationship with him. And finally, my final A is approach God with confidence that it might not be what you want, but he's going to give you what he wants for your life that you can use for his glory and honor and that will make you a better person because you are standing before him as a loved child. He loves you. It's incredible how much God loves you. I cannot tell you, I cannot stay here all day and tell you how much God loves you so much. Go to him with a Papa prayer and keep working on it and keep working on it and keep working on it, and your relationship is going to be so strong with him. And he will be the God that transforms your life and makes you a completely new creation. 358 is our invitation hymn. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord. I think in our hymn book it's called I Am Thine, O Lord. But we're going to sing this and we're going to mean it. And if you want your prayer life to be the kind of prayer life that God wants your prayer life to be, this altar is open for you to come and to rededicate your life and to rededicate your will to be his will being done in your life. Let us stand as we sing.